So, good afternoon to everyone. My name is Carlos Hernandez, and I'm one of your tutors in the subject English Diachrony and Typology. And today, we are going to analyze text 4 of your course book by Professor Boardman. At the end of the session, I will try to answer all your doubts regarding this text, and also you can post them in the virtual forum at any time if we do not have enough time here. First of all, let us say just a few words about the text we are going to analyze. It is a fragment from the West Saxon Gospels, from Luke 19:1-11, to be more precise, and it tells us the story of Jesus and the tax gatherer. It's written in the West Saxon dialect. The writing of it is attributed to three scribes. This information comes from two notes in one of the manuscripts. The first one is found at St. Matthew Gospel, and points to a certain Elfric, who received this work from his prior Brithwood. The second one is at the end of St. John Gospel, where we find the name of the writer, Wilfrid. Although not with absolute certainty, we can date this text in the first quarter of the 11th century. Anyhow, the interest of this text relies in the fact that it's an independent English translation of the Bible from the Latin Vulgate. This points to the idea that before the Norman conquest, solid efforts were made to have an Old English version of the Bible. In order for you to contextualize this text, I have selected this mural from the 13th century, 1275 to be more precise, located in a church in Denmark, into which we can see one of the scenes of the text. So let's start analyzing the text line by line, applying the methodology we have already learned. But please note that being this text part of the Gospels, it is divided into verticals instead of lines. I have emphasized the verbs with red, some nominal elements with blue, and some adverbs and function words with green. So in the first versicle, we find the verb eode, which we identify with third-person singular preterite indicative of gan, to go. This is an anomalous verb, but as we observe, the presence of the third-person singular nominative pronoun he following it points to the possible person and number of the verb. Being a nominative, we can take it as the subject of the clause. So we have the subject he after the verb eode. And we find the geographical noun Jericho. But we need a preposition governing that noun, yeon, which means through, and which governs accusative. We also have tha, which is an adverb meaning then or at that time. This adverb will appear on several occasions in this text. Most of the time, it has a pragmatic function to attract the reader's attention. Often, when translating it into present-day English, we can omit it. We find subject-verb inversion, eode he, in the first versicle, an order restricted to main clauses. The motivation of this inversion may be the presence of the clause initial adverb tha. The inversion of finite lexical verbs in Old English distinguishes it from present-day English. In present-day English, as you already know, this phenomenon is restricted to auxiliaries. Nevertheless, this type of inversion will not constitute a problem for you, since the subject stands close to the verb. So we can translate the first versicle as, at that time, he, the Lord, the Savior, he made his way through Jericho. In the second versicle, we find the third person singular preterite indicative was, a form identical to present-day English past form of the verb to be. We also find infinitive modifier sum. And please note that indefinite modifiers are rarely used in Old English. When they appear, they give additional meaning to the noun they modify. So we can translate the noun phrase sum man as a man, emphasizing the sense of indefiniteness. We also find the dative singular of noma, name, as you can check in the grammar section of Vagan Gable, and the proper name Zacchaeus. Observe the use of a prepositional phrase to refer to a characteristic quality or nomen, which means named Zacchaeus. We have another example of a main clause, which shows subject-verb inversion, and we find the adverb there, which means there or in that place. So we can translate the first part of the second versicle as there was a man named Zacchaeus. Velich is a nominative singular masculine of the adjective rich, prosperous, of the strong declension. The demonstrative ser is a nominative singular masculine, as you can check in your grammar section of Dalton Gable. It can also function as a relative pronoun. The case of the antecedent, man Zacchaeus, which is nominative, is identical to that of the relative ser. We have here a relative clause. In order to determine if a demonstrative functions as a relative pronoun, certain circumstances must hold. There should be a clear antecedent, which must be concluded on semantic grounds, since no concord holds in all cases. No other nouns in the clause shows agreement in case, number, and gender with that demonstrative. The word order may be helpful, may be a helpful clue. Adjective clauses are subordinate, so the object verb word order is particularly frequent in related clauses. Now we can translate the second part of the second versicle as who was rich. Let's turn to versicle 3. We find the third person singular, preterite indicative or subjunctive of the anomalous verb willen, to wish, to want, in this case a subjunctive, and the infinitive verb his own, to see, which is a class 5 strong verb. This verb has H in the infinitive sehen. This H produced the diphthongation in the infinitive, later causing the lengthening of the diphthong when it was lost. This H can be seen in the first preterite form, for instance, sehen, seh, the first preterite form, and sauen, the second preterite form, and sehen, the past preterite. The presence of W in the second preterite and the past participle results from the original H, which has undergone the development known as Werner's law. We also find the interrogative pronoun which, what, and the nominative singular of Helen, Savior, and the demonstrative ser. So we can translate the first part of the third versicle as he wanted to see what the Lord was like. Observe that in this construction, the word order is the same as in present-day English. So now let's turn to the verbs of the next clause in the third versicle. We find michte, which is the third person singular of preterite present verb magen, to be able. In the nominal group, we find the dative singular feminine of menegu, proud, and the nominative singular masculine of the objective little, short, of the strong declension. And the dative plural, masculine or neuter of Western stature, in this case is masculine. Having identified the verbal and nominal forms, let's focus on the prepositional phrase for the menegu, because of the crowd, which has a clausal meaning. Preposition and object, the order we would expect in present-day English, give us the clue to associate them as members of the same phrase. Notice, however, that the separation of the preposition from the subject by the demonstrative there, which means there, is an unusual pattern in all English. So we can identify the subject again, here, which is a third person singular nominative, and this structure can be translated as he could not because of the crowd. We can see the subject verb word order is again reversed after a close initial adverb. Even if we did not have the here, the presence of the negative adverb ne would have produced this reversal. In present-day English, we also have subject verb inversion after close initial adverb, but as noted before, only auxiliaries are subject to this inversion. Magen was a lexical verb in Old English. Ne is the negative adverb and always preceded the infinitive verb in Old English. Now let's turn to the prepositional conjunction fortan fe, because, introducing an adverbial clause of reason. The prepositional phrase on vestnum in stature is similar to the one analyzed in versicle 2 on namen. So we must understand that for the verb introduces clausal structures. A clause might be hypothetical or based on real evidence. If it's hypothetical, the verb is subjunctive. Otherwise, the verb is indicative. In this clause, the fact that Zacchaeus is short corresponds to a real situation, which is consistent with the occurrence of the verb in indicative mood, was. The word order, subject verb, is not helpful in telling a subordinate clause apart from the main clause, since it can occur in both clause types. So we have the adverbial clause, because he was short or little in stature. In versicle 4, we find the third person singular preterite indicative of class 3 strong verb yernen, to run, and the third person singular preterite indicative of class 1 strong verb stigen, to climb. If you want further information regarding the Old English inflection, you can download from the internet the magic sheet of Old English inflections at the Faculty of Virginia website, which I show you here. So in this magic sheet, you have, a summary of the principal declensions and inflections of Old English. In the nominal group, we identify the cardinal an, one, decline like a strong adjective, when it means alone. It is usually declined weak, ana. We find the accusative singular neuter, tro, which means tree, and the dative singular neuter, sycamore, which means mulberry tree or sycamore fig, in Spanish, morera or higuera. Regarding function words, we find the adverb before them, which we can translate as before or ahead. So we can translate the first part of this versicle as, then he ran ahead and climbed up into a mulberry tree or a sycamore fig. In the second part of the versicle, we identify the third person singular preterite indicative subjunctive, of his own, to see, and the infinitive of class 6 strong verb phanon, to go, to pass. We also find the adverb phanon from there, which introduces the point where motion is started. The demonstrative conjunction that is abbreviated here phon t. This conjunction is often used to introduce clauses of purpose, as is the one we are analyzing here. In this subordinate clause, we see the pronoun object hine, which means hin, between the subject and the verb. This can be interpreted as a case of subject, object, verb, word order, or just as a variant of the subject, verb, word order. So we have, so that he could see him. This is the translation. Next, we have the prepositional conjunction fourth and third, introducing a clause. Please notice that infinitives like paran do not have a fixed position in the clause. They often occur right or left of the finite governing verb. Very often, as is the case here, they occur in clause final position. So now you will be able to translate this clause as, for he knew he would pass that way. Let's continue with versicle 5. First of all, let's identify the verbal morphology. We find the verb come, which is the third person singular preterite indicative of class 4, strong verb kumam, to come. And we also find heser, which is the third person singular preterite indicative of heseum, to see. And the third person singular preterite indicative of class 5 strong verb quitan, to say. We find in the nominal group the dative singular feminine of sto, place, and Helen, which is the dative, which we have translated as the Lord. So now we can analyze the clause, noticing that in Old English it's frequent to find subject verb ordered in main clauses, as well as in subordinate clauses. Being the verb a finite verb, the subject verb word order simplifies the identification of the subject of the verb, he come, which means he came. In this text, even when the order is not the expected subject verb, the subject usually stands close to the verb without the presence of other intervening elements. You will not find it hard to establish the subject of clauses. So we have, then he came to this place, and the Lord saw him and said. Next, we find the imperative singular of class 1 with verb efstan, which means to hurry up, and the first person singular of preterite subjunctive of the anomalous verb willen, to wish or will, and the infinitive of plus two with verb willen, to stop, to dwell. Regarding the nominal group, we find the dative singular nota of whose, which means house, and regarding functioned words, we can find the adverb today, which is almost the same as in present-day English. So the whole structure can be translated as, Zacchaeus, hurry up to your place, because I will stop at your house today. Versicle 6, we find the third person singular of preterite indicative of evsten, to hurry up, and the third person singular preterite indicative of onphon, to welcome. Regarding function words, we find blifelice, which is an adverb meaning joyfully. So this clause can be translated into present-day English as, then he hurry up and welcome him joyfully. Regarding the seventh versicle, we find the third person plural preterite indicative of hesen, to see, and muddun, the third person plural preterite indicative of class two weak verb mudnin, to murmur. This ending is rare because the expected ending is in on, as you can check in the Old English Grammar section of Rob Balgan Gable. In cases like this one, it will be helpful to observe the sequence of verbs that come immediately before and after the verb or verb phrase, in order to identify the tense and person of the verbal form. We also find the third person plural preterite indicative of class five, strong verb quithen, to say, and in the nominal group we can identify the nominative plural masculine hic, they, and the nominative plural masculine of the adjective eale, which means all, declined as a strong adjective. The personal pronoun hic and the adjective eale present the same order as in present-day English, they all. So now we are able to translate the structure as, when they saw that, they all murmured and said. Next, we find the verb ichive. This form can be interpreted as a first or third person singular preterite indicative, or as any of the singular preterite subjunctive persons of class one weak verb quiron. In this case, is subjunctive. The presence in the same clause of the nominative singular personal pronoun he solves the question of the persons, and the fact that this verb occurs in a subordinate clause should lead us to interpret it as subjunctive mood. In the nominal group, we find the dative singular masculine of the adjective simple, which means simple, of the strong declension. So here we find a complement clause functioning as a direct object of quithen. We have the customary order for a subordinate clause, subject and then verb, which means that the subject and the verb are not side by side, but separated by one or more objects. You should be prepared to find the verb at the end of subordinate clauses, which is a normal position in Germanic languages. So we can translate the clause into present-day English as, that he went with simple men, or man. He, in this case, the Savior, the Lord. In versicle 8, we identify the third person singular preterite indicative of class 6 strong verb standen, to stand, and the third person singular preterite indicative of class 5 strong verb quithen, to say, as you already know. In the nominal group, we find a dative singular masculine of drichten, Lord. So now we are able to translate the clause as, then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord. In the second part of the versicle, we find the verb sille, which can be interpreted as a first person singular present indicative, or as a first person singular present subjunctive of class one weak verb selam, to give. In this case, is indicative. The presence of each help us to find out the person of this verb. When working on the translation of this text, we see that some future action is involved. So this word's acquiring the value of a promise tell us that the verb is indicative. In the nominal group, we find a dative plural masculine, feminine, or nota of the adjective darfa, who in this case is feminine, and here it's used substantively, with the meaning of the poor, and its decline is strong. We also find the accusative singular feminine of health, which means health, and the genitive plural feminine of acht, possessions. Regarding adverbs, we find nu, which means now. The possessive mine agrees with gender, number, and case with health. The possessive is the genitive form of the first person of pronoun ich. Notice that it can also be declined as a strong adjective. The preferred situation is for the possessive to precede the head noun, but in this case, it follows that. The word echte possessions is a partitive genitive. Thus, it specifies the entity referred to by health and meaning, my half. So we can translate the clause as, now I will give half of my property to the poor. In the next part of the versicle, we find the verb werden, which can be analyzed as a first-person singular preterite indicative or as a first-person singular preterite subjunctive of class 1 weak verb werden, to the floor. In this case, is subjunctive. This action expressed in the conditional clause is not presented as certain, as we should expect, as I said before, the subjunctive mood. We also find the first-person singular preterite subjunctive of class 1 strong verb ergeben, to restore, and in the nominal group we find the accusative singular masculine of the indefinite pronoun enich, anyone. And the compound verwerfeldum, which is formed by the numeral verwer, which means four, and the termination of the numeral feld, which indicates the amount specified by the numeral. Thus, by this ending, we can tell this noun is a dative plural. The gender can be determined by the entity to be qualified. In this case, einichne, a masculine pronoun. We also find the preposition ver, which means by or according to. In this case of condition, observe the presence of subject, object, verb, word order in both constituent constructions. Einichne berjafode, defrauded anyone, and perro feldum agife, give four times. Gif is the most frequent conjunction for introducing conditions in Old English. We find preterite subjunctive in both clauses. This type of clauses present imaginary or hypothetical situations. We also have the customary order for a subordinate clause, subject, and then verb, the subject and the verb, not side by side, but separated by one or more objects. Remember that we should be prepared, to find the verb at the end of subordinate clauses in Germanic languages. So now we are able to translate the construction as, and if I defrauded anyone, I will give them back four times as much. In versicle 9, we find the form quith, which we have already analyzed, and the form is and geworden, which is a past participle of class 3 strong verb werden, to come. Regarding the nominal group, we find the dative singular of feminine noun hikreiden, household, and heil, which is a nominative singular of the feminine noun salvation. We also find habrahamus, which is a genitive singular of the masculine noun habraham, and bern, a nominative singular of the neuter noun son. So now we are able to translate the construction into two clauses. Then the Lord said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is a son of Abraham. The second clause constitutes an independent statement functioning as the direct objects of quid, say, said. And please note the embedded clause introduced by the conjunction for them, which is an adverbial clause of course, because he is a son of Abraham. To conclude, in the last versicle, we identified the third-person singular preterite indicative of class 4 strong verb kommen, to come, as we already have analyzed, and the infinitive of class 1 weak verb sichern, to search, and the infinitive of the anomalous verb dumm, which means to do. We also find the verb the word, which is the third-person singular preterite indicative of class 3 strong verb or were then, to be lost, to perish. And in the nominal group, we find the genitive singular of the masculine noun man, which means man, and the nominative singular of the masculine noun sunu, which means son, and also the nominative singular masculine adjective hal, which means safe, decline, strong. The presence of two infinitives expresses purpose, sechan, to search, and don, to do. This, the matrix verb is come, which means came. Phone t or that is a demonstrative functioning as a relative pronoun. Thus, not only introduces an adjective clause, but also has a function at clause level. Here, it's also the subject of the adjective clause. So we can translate this construction as, the Son of Man came to search and save those who were lost. Following this methodology, we are able to translate a whole Old English text into present-day English, and even hopefully an original manuscript. This is an illuminated manuscript from the British Library, that is, it has decoration elements in it, and it is from the 11th century, 1025 to be more precise, from the Gospel of Mark, written in Old English, a manuscript that Sir Robert Cotton left to the nation in the 18th century. I will now try to answer your question regarding this text, and if we do not have enough time here, please post them in the virtual forum. If you want further references on this text, you can read Madeleine Grunberg's 1967 book, The West Saxon Gospels. Regarding Old English grammar, I recommend Mitchell and Robinson, 1992, and Cassidy and Ringler, 1971, and of course the material of Professor Warden, which is in the virtual learning environment of. If you want to, I will post the link to the magic sheet of Old English inflections of the Faculty of Virginia website in the virtual forum. And if you want further information regarding the Cotton manuscripts, I will also post the link to the British Library in the virtual forum. I will also post this PowerPoint presentation in it. So if you don't have any doubts regarding this text, I will now stop the recording. Thank you so much, and thank you very much for your attention.